I wrote down a list of reasons why this weekend made it more depressing to be a Jet fan. Number one, the division. I mean, the Patriots, especially with how well coached they looked last night, to go along with the fact that Drake may win the MVP this season and is only going to get better. He's in the Jet division. Josh Allen is in the Jet division.
Right.
So as the debate internally and on this radio station will go over the next few months about Dante Moore or trading for Kyler Murray or whatever quarterback they bring in, ask yourself this. Will any of them truly be able to go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen and Drake May? I mean, think about it.
Yeah, that's a tough hustle.
It's incredibly depressing. Then you just look at the coaching of these playoff teams. You look at even a Liam Cohen. Is Aaron Glenn ever going to give the Jets an X's and O's edge the way a lot of these young head coaches do, whether it's Ben Johnson in Chicago or I mentioned Liam Cohen in Jacksonville? Like, the coaching feels a million miles away.
Right. That's why I thought they would seriously consider moving on.
Well, they will next year.
Right. Unless there is a demonstrated advancement in that. Just that simple realm of coaching. It's an amorphous term. It doesn't really mean anything, but it means everything. Unless there's a clear growth in that spot, Aaron Glenn's going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, I think Aaron Glenn, if I had to make a long-term prediction, he's gone at the end of next year. And I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, but right. No, I think the Jets are looking for a new head coach a year from now. When we're doing our January 12th, 2027 show, I am going to cut this out. Tiki and I will be talking about all the different Jet candidates, and they'll all be first-time coordinators. You can mark my words. And then the other thing that added to my weekend, and I know this shouldn't bother me, is the unneeded shade. I know the Jets suck. You know the Jets. We all know. Do I need unneeded shade? And so here is the Amazon Prime pregame show and an innocent interview with Davante Adams, once a Jet, always a Jet. And tell me if this was necessary at all.
Damn.
Why?
Damn.
Why?
I didn't hear that. That is cold-blooded, dude.
Like, what's the point?
There's so many other teams. You could have said the Giants.
You could have said anybody.
So many other teams you could have picked. They're just the Raiders. So many teams.
Yeah. Wow. And he picks the Jets. And why? Because he had such a bitter breakup here?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, no, that's the... Well, you should have said the Raiders. He had a bitter breakup with them.
No, you're right.
This kind of stuff, and here's the thing we got to get used to, Jet fans. Nothing's changing this until they start winning.
Yeah.
They are the LOL Jets. They are the absolute LOL team. And while we deserve it because we suck, a lot of it is unnecessary. That is unnecessary. And that's the kind of shade we have to deal with. So I know you guys, and by you guys, I mean Giant fans, had a rough time last year with the Saquon stuff, had to deal with that all the way through the Super Bowl. We're just dealing with our existence.
Right. Yeah. But it got a chuckle. The problem is the Jets have become the league joke.
Yeah.
The league whipping boy.
Yes.
It's just easy. You know it. I'm trying to think of a team that's just recently bad. Tennessee. I guess Tennessee, because like a couple years ago when Vrabel was there, you thought of them as a good team.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, yeah, they're like the Titans, you'd be like, huh? What does that mean? Is that remember the Titans? Is that, you know, Denzel, or is that Mike Vrabel? Like, what are you talking about?
Why not just say the Raiders? The Raiders have been awful.
But the Raiders have a richer history. The poster of
that. And they had this 2 years ago with Antonio Pierce as the interim. It was an interesting story.
Right.
Whereas the Jets, it's just kind of like every year. It's the same recycled nonsense.
It's not just football. They have the longest, that's it. Like, we joke around, but it's true. They had the longest playoff drought.
It's you guys are right. Like, as much as it pains me, they've earned LOL, Jets. Mm-hmm. And while a lot of it is unfair and unnecessary, the only way to change it is by winning. Like, a credit to the Knicks. The Knicks were the LOL Knicks for a million years, and no one does it anymore because they beat it out of you.
Right.
They're good.
But it took sustained winning. It took 3 years. At first, it was kind of like, it's a flash in the pan. Atlanta destroyed you.
And then they missed the playoffs the following year.
And so it was like, ha, 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 still, you're back to the same. And then they had extended winning.
Yeah. But it's possible. The Lions used to be that team for us. We always referenced and made that joke about that. That's done now.
No, think about how quickly that changed. Yes. I mean, it's what, 5 years, 4 years since Dan Campbell took over?
You're right.
You don't even think of them that way anymore.
No, it's just the Jets. We own it. So thank you, Devontae. That was really necessary for you to just say, oh, you end up as the Jets.
And now can you just picture Evan when Devontae slid behind that camera Aaron Rodgers was on in the McAfee show to show he was in Jersey and joining Aaron Rodgers?
I was excited. Oh, you want to do more LOL stuff? I thought we were done with it. You want to keep laughing? Keep laughing.
just
watch your name, other funny stuff. Evan was happy even after Rodgers got hurt because they beat the Bills that night on a walk-off kick return for a touchdown. Want to laugh about that?
No, I don't.
What else you want to laugh about?
Yeah, you're laughing.
Having a chuckle.
I'm laughing because it got to 108 to get under his skin.
I had to say goodbye to my dog a few weeks ago. You want to laugh at that, too?
Oh, do not put that on me. By the way, I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Dudley. Do not. That's terrible to put
on me. I mean, you're laughing at me. Why don't we keep going? You want to keep going?
You can't put dead dog on my plate. You know how horrible that is?
I mean, you just...
Are you getting another one?
What kind of question is that?
The same question you just asked me. That's what kind of question.
I didn't ask you a question. I just said, since you're making fun of the Jets and bringing up old stuff, you want to just keep going?
Your children would like to know.
I'm not getting into that conversation. It's a complicated conversation. Nor am I ready to have that. Like, I don't know. When I say goodbye to my cat many years ago, Freedom, and it was tough, I didn't know because I knew I was going to get another pet, but I didn't know the right amount of time.
Yeah.
And I waited like 4 months. Like, it was not instant. But everybody's different, and I respect the hell out of that. Some people go out the next day. I'm still grieving. And so as long as you're grieving, it's odd to
Or you can stop the grieving by bringing joy.
So is that what you do in your past?
It's not what we did because our dog Charlotte passed away 18 or so. And then COVID forced us to get another dog.
Just what do you mean COVID forced you to get another dog?
What does that mean? COVID was so mind-numbing.
Yeah.
It was mind-numbing and boring. So people did one of two things. They either fixed their home so they could home entertain or their backyards or their basements, or they got a pet.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a baby boom of pets during COVID.
100%.
And now most of them don't like leaving their owner's sides because they were with them all the time their first year.
That's right.
Yeah, you set them up for something so
unrealistic. I feel like everybody in our neighborhood got dogs during COVID.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I got to be honest. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
I renovated my house. So to Tiki's point, I went the other end. Yeah,
I did both, but.
And I think what other people did, especially if you were living in New York City, is you left New York City.
100%.
You were just like,
I'm out.
I'm going to go find somewhere else to live.
I need green spaces where I can stand outside.
Yes. Steve is calling from Charlotte. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, love the show. Thanks for the call, guys.
Pleasure,
thanks.
Steve.
So I'm 37 years old, lifelong Jets fan. My father, my grandfather, both Giants fans. Now, I've been saying for the last few years, I need Woody Johnson to do something completely morally deplorable so that I could quit the Jets and have a clear conscience about it. And
yeah, like people quit Washington because of Snyder.
Yeah. Exactly. So my question to you is generally, and then I'll take it off. What are your feelings on grown men just suddenly changing the team they root for after all these years?
Look, I'm not going to lecture you that you can't do it. You can read Joe's book. Joe wrote a book over a decade ago, The Rules of the New York Sports Fan. But here's what I'll tell you. It'll never be as fulfilling. So if you give up on the Jets at 38 years old and you pick whatever team, even if the team is down right now, let's say it's the Giants or it's the Titans, whatever team you want, when they win, if they win in the next 5 years, it will not give you the same unbridled joy as the team that you've watched struggle finally breaking through. And this is where I feel bad for Sean. He will never experience the kind of joy I would experience if the New York Jets win a Super Bowl. Not even close. And I feel bad for you. Like, it doesn't mean you won't be happy if Jackson Dart wins a Super Bowl. It just won't be the same.
You're talking about just football or other sports?
I'm specifically talking about football, but we can get into other sports if you want. But in football, it will not tingle you or hit you the way it does me. It won't even be close. I do feel bad for you.
I think you're being short-sighted. As somebody who's seen a championship, a couple of them.
My point exactly.
Enough time has passed.
No.
Yeah, like life circumstances change. Life, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't understand.
I haven't experienced one with my kids.
That's all cute. And again, that adds something. I'm not saying you won't have great appreciation
after
for the
title.
After
this many years down, you don't think I could appreciate it the same?
I never said you won't appreciate it. It won't be like me. And it won't be like Joe. And it won't be like our last caller. So I feel bad for you. I do.
The only reason I'm going to say no, 2009 Yankees, it felt as good as 96.
Okay.
Because a long time had passed.
Okay, you were like 8 when they won in 96. You just don't understand. This is one of those things where...
So now that doesn't count? I mean, that channels your childhood.
You're getting very sensitive. I never said it doesn't count. I never said it wasn't amazing. It will not hit you the way it hits me and other fans of my ilk. I'm
but
sorry.
So I've experienced it both ways and can tell you it does hit the same, but you have never experienced it, and you're going to tell me how it hits.
I'm telling you right now.
That is a classic Evan Roberts if I've ever seen.
It's just true.
Okay.
I'm just being honest with you.
I'm actually confused why you're hating on him, but...
Thank you, Tiggy.
Wait, I'm hating on him?
No, he's hating on you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tiggy.
I'm confused.
Let's go to Marty in Hoboken. What's up, Marty?
Marty. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tonight. Big Steeler fan. They're 100% healthy. I think Rodgers will play a great game. And one other thing, Bill Cowher was on Rich Eisen's show, and he asked Eisen a trivia question. When was the last time the Steelers lost a home Monday Night Football game?
I think it was like the early 90s, wasn't it? Aren't they on like some kind of incredible streak?
You'll get that stat in the next Fan Focus in a few minutes.
Mm. Oh, well, hold on, Marty. We got to let you go then. I'm sorry. Would you like to use it now so you don't have your Fan Focus stolen by a loyal caller?
You know what? Why not? This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. Wild Card Weekend comes to a close tonight when the Texans visit the Steelers. The winner will go to New England on Sunday with the time still to be determined. The Steelers have not lost a Monday Night Football game at home since October 14th, 1991. Though it is unclear whether a playoff game will count towards this unofficial record the Steelers have cooking, a loss could mark the end of Aaron Rodgers' legendary career between his runs in Green Bay and in Pittsburgh.
But they played a lot of Monday night games, I would think, since 1991.
Oh, I think it's a long list.
Record, too.
I understand that, but a lot of Monday night... Oh, it's true. Some of the Monday night games could have been on the road.
But if I had to guess how many home Monday night games they've played since 1991, I bet you that number is... 15.
Right.
Like, it's a significant number. Like, it's not one of those weird streaks where they've only done it 3 times.
Now, there's a caveat.
Yes. Let's address this caveat. Okay. And I'm glad you're about to bring up my caveat. On January 15th, 2024, the Pittsburgh Steelers had to play a Monday afternoonish game. The game got moved because of a weather issue.
Interesting.
And so it was a 4:30 Monday game.
Does that count?
Does that count?
Well, that's not the only one. You had a different one because that was the playoffs.
That was the playoffs, yes.
The other one happened in COVID. They play a Monday game and they lost.
By the way, that's the one I meant because even the one
that
I just brought up.
That was home.
Yeah, the Buffalo one was on the road. So that wouldn't, because these are only home
games,
right?
Would not count. Yeah, home game.
So this was a COVID game that got moved to a Monday.
Correct.
At what time did you say?
5:00.
Yeah, I don't know.
It became a Monday doubleheader.
I don't count it. It's not Monday Night Football.
Well, it's not Monday Night Football because... Think about, because even on the West Coast, the Monday Night Football still feels like it's night.
Well, not only that, Tiki.
The West Coast at 5 is like, it's 1:00, it's afternoon.
I don't think we had access to the game. I think it was one of those...
I don't remember.
...local people who were going to get the game got the game. That if you had the DirecTV package, there was a cut. Well, do you get the game?
Yeah. They gave it to everybody, Evan.
Oh, they did?
And the outrage was the Sunday ticket holders were mad because it was a game they paid for that everybody then got. It was outrage.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't think that one counts. I would say the streak is still alive. And it's an impressive streak. I hope that streak ends tonight. I cannot deal with Steelers Patriots. That is just
Texans
horrible.
Have struggled offensively all season.
I know, but their defense is awesome, dude.
Oh, it's fantastic. But they have struggled a lot this season.
Let's go to Dino in Cranford, New Jersey. Hey, Dino.
Hey, boys. So, first off, didn't get a chance to call last week. Welcome back to the middays for both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. What's up?
Want to talk? I'm actually on with Sean with this one. Why is this not signaling the potential end of the Philly Eagles domain right now in the NFC East? I get what you guys are saying with the rinse and repeat stuff, but think about this and peel the onion back a little bit. They're gonna definitely trade AJ Brown. I think we're all in agreement with that.
Yeah,
that will add a different dynamic in that locker room. There will be a new X receiver, a new alpha. I get Devonta Smith is playing good and is doing good. He's not that X guy. Whoever you bring in to replace him, you have to see what that mindset of that player is going to be. You have to see how it's going to mesh with everything going on. Couple that with what has gone on with Jalen Hurts this year. the design runs are down. They went from 92 design runs to 41 design runs for him this year.
He looked off, too, Dino.
Here's the thing, and I respect you, Sean, and I can predict Craig will feel the same way because he hates Philadelphia. I think that your biases are clouding the fact that Howie Roseman's the best general manager on the planet, and that despite how bad things went, they're going to replace this offensive coordinator. And every time they've done that, like remember when they did that after 23, they ended up with Kellen Moore in 24, who went on, got a head coaching job. And oh, by the way, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Like, it just really feels rinse and repeat. Yes, there are players on this roster getting older. Yes, Jalen Hurts didn't have the greatest year in the world. But I'd be stunned if we're not sitting here a year from now talking about the Eagles in another playoff game. The New York Jets have added a quarterback. New York Jets have signed Bailey Zappe to a futures deal.
Can't wait.
What are they doing? They're trolling us. Darren Mooji just trolled us. We just sat through a weekend of brilliant football in which we feel a million miles away. Devontae Adams is mocking us. The Bills are in the divisional round. The Patriots are in the divisional round. They've got two MVP candidates at quarterbacks. And the Jets are like, we got you, Bailey Zappe. Like, that feels like the Jets are trolling us by even making this move. If you want to bring in Bailey Zappe to an irrelevant futures deal, can you do it like, I don't know, not a few hours after we watch Drake May advance to the divisional round? Maybe I'm being too sensitive. It feels like we're being trolled by our own franchise.
Did he even play last year? Was he in the league?
Yeah, I thought he was with...
He was on a practice squad for sure.
Is that where he was? He was somewhere this year.
Yeah, he was on a practice squad. The last time he saw a snap was in 2024, though, with the Cleveland Browns.
Maybe you have something.
Stop, don't do that.
16 of 31 for 171 yards, a TD, and two interceptions.
If Bailey Zappe sees the field for the New York Jets in 2026, the season will have been an unmitigated, unfiltered disaster.
He's only 27 years old next year.
Don't do this.
He's young.
Maybe you got something.
Maybe you got something with the Zappe guy, you know.
I think it's more of a
Western
tale.
Western Kentucky.
I think we found out Brady Cook, not a backup quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think that was pretty obvious. We'll make our pick a little bit more in-depth a little bit later on tonight's Monday night game. We'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. And Ben Johnson did something fascinating this week in the lead-up to this postseason game. We'll reveal what it is, all from our Town Fair Tire studio. And our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
If you're looking to level up your wardrobe, check out Collars & Co. You might have seen them on Shark Tank, where they landed a deal with Mark Cuban. They're the team behind the dress collar polo that sold over a million shirts. Now they've launched the Maverick Performance Blazer, and this thing is legit. It's sharp, lightweight, and completely wrinkle-resistant, perfect for travel. All you gotta do is pack it in your bag, and it comes out looking fresh. Plus, you get cool, smart features like security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So hit up collarsandco.com. Use code TIKI for 20% off. That's at collarsandco.com.
This portion of the program is sponsored by Ray Katina Mercedes-Benz of Edison.
Tonight's game in a few minutes, the Steelers and the Texans. The winner goes to Foxborough to hopefully end the nightmare that is the New England Patriots going on another Super Bowl run. For Giant fans, your nightmare ended yesterday when the Philadelphia Eagles got picked off by the injury-riddled San Francisco 49ers. I want you to tell me how good this little rant is. This is and I'm going to guess the age, a 12-year-old Eagle fan.
Okay.
Leaving the stadium, being asked about what happened, his opinion, you know, who deserves blame. So here is unnamed Eagle fan breaking down what happened as the Eagles lost to the San Francisco 49ers.
Feeling two of two things. A, I want A.J. Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, A.J., but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
Whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
Do you like that one?
Wow.
Wow.
How old is that kid?
I'm going to guess 12.
Like smart.
Yeah.
He's football savvy.
He's a young Philadelphia Sean Morash.
I love the take. One minor quibble, and he can iron this out. I don't know, man. I'm a big McDonald's guy. I never go there and feel like half my burger's raw, though. You know what I mean? I knew where he was going with.
Come on.
I knew where he was going with the burger flipper thing. You got to clean that up a little bit. That's not fair to McDonald's burger flippers.
Yeah, he needs a different example.
You know what I mean?
Like a place that just has like nasty burgers.
Yeah, or something that's just bad on the other half.
I was just happy that he didn't drop F-bombs. If there's something that bothers me about the little kids using the F-word all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear that, so I'm glad it was clean. It didn't need any editing. It was just, yeah, I'm disgusted by this guy. I'm disgusted by that guy. There was no mother bleeps.
Well, I did see a video of, like, four kids in Eagle jerseys giving middle fingers to a bunch of Niner fans walking in pregame.
Yeah.
So I can't say everybody in Philadelphia has cleaned up their act kid-wise.
Well, I'd say everybody, but it's good to at least see that. One other thing is Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson was asked after the game. I was telling you earlier in the show, I was listening to all the post-game press conferences from the head coaches because you never know what you'll learn. So Ben was asked about the Bears' comeback, and he revealed that in training camp, he played highlights of the Patriots' comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl after the 2016 season.
Really?
Yeah, as a reminder, the game is never over.
Huh. That's weird. No, nobody ever did that. That's just weird.
Why is that weird?
Because
I think it's actually pretty...
It's not related to you, and why would you care?
Because it could be related to you. And think about it. Not that they were down by the same score or by the same deficit. It turned out to matter in a playoff game.
I'm just trying to think as a player, if I'm sitting in that room, why I'm motivated by that. Because, I mean, as an analyst, I enjoy seeing what teams do and coaches try to position and play design and all that other stuff. But as a current player, why would I care that the New England Patriots, not my team, I don't know anybody on that team, I have no affinity to either. Why would I care?
No one ever tried that with you in the room? No. Whether it was Tom Coughlin or Jim Fossil, like, here's a highlight of an old game to remind you of something?
Not my game.
It would be your game.
They would show me kicking ass, and I'd be like, yeah, that's right. I'm going to do that again. But not some other random team. I think the closest I got was in college when my running back coach showed us the Thriller in Manila.
Oh.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. It's not football related, but okay.
That was awesome because we didn't know. We weren't familiar with it. It was before our age, but it just, every like couple of days, he'd show us another round. And so it was just, and back then, we didn't have the internet, so we didn't look up Thriller in Manila, what happened.
Right.
You couldn't just go search and figure it out. And so we just waited and just watched and watched and watched, and it got to the end, and he didn't answer. He didn't answer the bell.
Yeah.
So he was just like, answer the bell. It was like the end of our training camp. He's like, no matter what happens, you answer the bleeping bell.
I was waiting for what the message was. That's a pretty good message.
That was the message.
All right. So you know what I've learned from this conversation? I don't think the modern coaches would work on Tiki Barber.
No.
You'd roll your eyes and be like,
you are stupid.
He'd be going in depth the whole time.
Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
A little bad news. The pet stuff, it really never goes away. Little good news. I don't think we got to wait 100 years for the Jets. I believe that Namath sold his soul to the devil, and the deal was that he'd never watch them win another one. So I'm not rooting for anything, but I don't think it's going to be 100 years.
So you're basically saying poor Joe's got to die, and no one's going to sit there rooting for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in curses. I think that curses are excuses for incompetence. And you should put that on a T-shirt.
I like that.
And I believe that throughout the history of sports. It wasn't a curse that did in the Cubs. It wasn't a curse that did in the Red Sox. And it's not a curse that's doing in the Jets. It's incompetence. So when I say it's going to take 100 years, part of it is playing off the Cubs. But a lot of it is a lack of faith in their current leadership.
What was the incompetence with the Cubs? Was it their owners?
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't make smart moves.
Right.
I think with the Red Sox, it was more obvious because of the racism, the fact that...
Right.
And I think the story was before Jackie broke the color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and I remember reading about this years ago, the general manager at the time was prepared to sign, I think it was Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson. It was going to be like a group, maybe not Hank Aaron, but I think it was like four of the best players from the Negro Leagues. And it was done.
Yeah.
And Tom Yawkey was like, not doing it. And so stories like that say, the Red Sox were just, they were run by a racist.
Right.
They weren't forward thinking. And it's a big part of why they went a million years without winning.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when it comes to the Jets, it's, do you trust them to find the right guys and turn it around? The answer is probably not. I'll tell you the other formula I use sometimes about winning, the Mets. Joe taught me this formula.
Okay.
73 to 86, 13 years in between getting to a World Series.
Okay.
86 to 2000, 14 years. 2000 to 2015, 15 years. So the next Mets World Series appearance is 16 years after 2015. So the next World Series appearance is 2031.
That's close.
It's close.
That's 5 years from now.
The only thing, but
Juan Soto would be 32 years old.
That was, yes.
33 years old.
Soto's in the prime of his career. He's set.
He could be. He's where Aaron Judge is now.
No, you're right. Unless the Mets let him opt out and leave.
Carson Bench hits a leadoff homer.
Mm.
Yeah. The problem is then they're going to lose, and then it'll be another 17 years until they get back.
Well, so how do you get back to, what's the winning number?
Oh, I don't think there is a winning number. Sorry about that.
So 60, what was it, 60?
It's 13, 14, and 15. 13 years between pennants, 14 year between pennants.
Not the World Series.
86. So how many years is that now?
Yeah.
Oh, this year's an anniversary. This is the 40th anniversary of the Mets' last World Championship, 1986.
Wow, America was 210 when they won.
Isn't that crazy?
Right, 250, that's right.
Yeah.
I keep hearing that.
Yeah, the 250?
Yeah. America 250.
America 250. Let's go to Rui in South River. Hey, Rui.
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys. How you doing? Evan, I wanted to commiserate slightly, sort of, with you and also agree with you on the elation that one feels after their team finally wins one. I'm a lifelong Angels fan, and they are a laughingstock of the major leagues, and I know where you're coming from as far as the Jets go. But also, as a lifelong Angels fan, I honestly still have to pinch myself sometimes when I watch replays of the 2002 World Series. Because by then I had been watching. I've been an Angels fan for like 22 years, and I never thought they would win anything. It just came completely out of left field, and I was in shock. I was in shock and elation, and yeah, I agree with you 100% that the feeling one gets after finally winning, I don't think that can be matched.
That's the thing Sean will never understand, and I respect it. I don't even want to argue with him. It's more just I want to pat him on the head and say, you just don't know. You don't know because of the teams you root for. I mean, you just don't know what that feels like.
Yeah, sure, I don't.
Well, you don't. How many championships have you seen in your lifetime in grand total of the four teams you root for?
I have to think about
it. Yeah, you
got to
think about it, exactly.
Three, four. I honestly forget how many Yankee wins have I seen, five or six?
You have seen 96, 98, 99, 2000, 2009. So you got
five. So five, two, and my first sports memory was Rangers year, so that's eight.
You got eight championships.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And how old are you
that's
again?
That's pretty damn good.
38.
Okay. I am 42 and a half. My half birthday was over the weekend.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I've seen zero. Zero.
Okay.
So you don't know.
Oh, that does that depress you that you'll never catch them?
Forget catch them. You think I'm catch them? I just want one of each. I'm actually, screw that. I just want one. Like,
I get,
me the one.
That's a lot, Sean.
It is. Only three in my adult life, though.
And he has the balls to tell me he knows what it would feel like to win again when I haven't seen one. Mm. That just proved my point.
And yet my two favorite teams of all time are the 2000 Giants and 2001 Nets, the two teams that got there and lost.
I understand. Mm. I'm just saying you don't get it.
I get it.
You don't get it.
I get it because I lived the 2009 Yankees and I realized how much it meant to me knowing we went that long.
Stop it.
I've lived it.
You're insulting. Anthony's in Nutley. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys, love the show. I just wanted to give insight on the Ben Johnson show on the 28-3 Super Bowl, as we all know.
Okay.
But what Tiki said as a player, obviously, that wouldn't really motivate me. But what motivates me is if two players from those teams were on our team, just as Joe Tooney was on the Patriots and Grady Jarrett, defensive lineman, was on the Falcons, to give their point of views.
Interesting. On that
game. Does that add to it? Good insight, Anthony. Does that add to the intention
only
of doing
if
that?
They got up and talked about it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. But would that do something for you?
Yeah, probably, because you respect your teammate.
Oh, I have an answer to your question.
What's that?
You asked me a question about an hour ago.
Okay.
About Kyle Tucker in the meeting.
Yeah.
In person, out of New York.
Oh, nice.
You like that one?
I do.
Does that give you more hope?
That's better because it's not New York, so therefore can't get stupid speculation about it. It's actually smart.
It's also because you don't want to show them New York in the winter.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
That was the story. Brian Cashman, I think, told this story.
Last week it was actually okay last week.
Okay, yeah. Okay for us.
Yeah.
Brian Cashman told a great story about chasing Yamamoto where the Yankees flew out to California. They meet Yamamoto. They're at this beautiful, hotel rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
It's 75 degrees, and Cashman goes to Boone and says, we have no shot to get this guy. He's going to look at this weather and be like, I'm going to New York? And while I love the cold weather, and some of us do like the cold weather, the vast majority of people see that kind of weather, especially in the middle of December or January, and it's like, that's a no-brainer. So it's probably a good strategy to meet with a free agent that you're trying to bring to New York outside of New York.
Right.
Because the reality is...
Just start to develop the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because it is not pleasant here.
No.
And it's supposed to snow later this week, I heard.
Oh, yeah. God, is it?
How many are we talking? 2 inches?
Yeah, probably
6 inches?
But still, just the fact that it was 50-something a couple days ago.
I know.
Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Teak.
What's up, Sonny?
What's up?
Hey. Evan, you were talking about your formula for winning. My formula for winning or for betting is when you have two quarterbacks, I'm talking about the playoffs here, and any time, really, and one of them is a future Hall of Famer. He's a great quarterback. You always go with the future Hall of Famer. 9 out of 10 times, that works. And that's why I'm going with Rodgers tonight. And, guys, as far as Harbaugh is concerned, listen, I never thought he was going to go to Miami. He was going to go to the team. Number one, the Giants is a perfect fit for him. He wanted the quarterback. And there's no quarterback in Miami. Tua is no good, and they have a huge contract with him that they can't get rid of. So that was never going to happen. He respects Mara, and he knows when he comes to the Giants, he's going to have full power because Shane is a lame duck here. And even though the Giants, you know, respect Shane and they like him, and, you know, they want to keep him. They didn't want to get rid of him. They want to keep him, even though 90% of the fan base wants him gone.
Right.
But Harbaugh is going to have full power here, guys, so it's a perfect fit. And I called up, guys, a couple weeks ago when Sal was still here, and I said, there's no way the Giants aren't going to at least win 9 to 10 games next year. And he had a fit. Meanwhile, there were two teams this year that went from 3 wins last year to 13 wins this year. So there's a great chance the Giants, especially with the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
And the common denominator is that all those teams have good quarterbacks.
Yeah, the Giants fit the common denominator. Yeah. Like, telling me the Jets are going to win 9 or 10 games? Like, I hope you're right. My answer wouldn't be to yell. It'd just be, from your lips to God's ears, bro, to quote the great Joe B. I don't see it. I don't agree with it. But the Giants, as much as it pains me to see Sean smile right now, the Giants are set up to have a big turnaround year. They really are. Now, let me see if Sonny's formula works. He says, in the playoffs, always go with the better quarterback. Well, let's take a look at this weekend and see if we could universally agree the better quarterback won. Bryce Young versus Matthew Stafford. Stafford won.
Yep. Correct.
That's a check. Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams won.
I'm officially giving that a check.
Really?
I think Caleb is turning into that guy.
Yeah.
When we sit here, even a year from now, it will be open and shut that Caleb Williams is better than Jordan Love?
I think Caleb's more talented.
A year from now, no, but in like 3 years.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
2 for 2. Josh Allen against Trevor Lawrence. Josh Allen won.
Definitely.
Yes. No question. No offense to you, Trevor.
MVP versus non-MVP.
Jalen Hurts versus Brock Purdy.
See, I can't back this one. I'd rather Hurts than Purdy.
I mean, they both have accomplished a lot,
but
and both get stereotyped as, oh, it's the roster around them. Yeah, they both deal with it.
But Purdy made some hella fine throws, man.
He did. Purdy's been playing out of his mind. But I mean, Hurts
was. It's definitely Hurts.
Hurts was the best player in 2 Super Bowls.
I agree. Right? But it's funny that both of them kind of deal with the same critiques.
Yeah.
They both deal with the whole, they're not that good.
Yeah.
And then finally, Drake May against Justin Herbert.
Not even open and shut.
Yeah. I tell you right now, that is open and
he
shut.
He might win the MVP.
So far, I think Sonny's formula works. Now, you look at a night like tonight. Tonight's complicated because Aaron Rodgers obviously is an all-time great. And I shudder to think that C.J. Stroud has any shot, with all due respect to him, of ever getting to the level of Aaron Rodgers. He's a really good quarterback. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about today Aaron Rodgers versus today C.J. Stroud. Who's the better quarterback?
I'm
going to take Aaron Rodgers.
You're going to take Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I do. C.J. Stroud feels flawed this year.
Yeah.
I'm taking Stroud.
I'm taking Stroud, too, but I admit it's close.
Well, here's the thing. Their best moments, even this year, is Rodgers every once in a while dialing one back that you see. But over 60 minutes, Stroud's the better quarterback right now.
Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers statistically had the better year. I know CJ missed a couple of games.
He did.
I think it's reasonably close. And with that said, let's make our pick on tonight's game. Our pick is brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Our Future. Collars & Co., the original dress collar polo. We picked all the games over the weekend, and it was actually very close. I went 3-2. Tiki Barber went 3-2. And Sean went 2-3. Real quick, on the Carolina Ram game, Tiki and I took L's. We took the Rams with the points or laying the points. Sean took Carolina. On the Chicago-Green Bay game, it was the opposite. Me and Tiki got victories taking the Bears. Sean took Green Bay. On the Jacksonville-Buffalo game, I was the only one with a victory taking Buffalo. You two picked Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. On the Philadelphia-San Francisco game, me and Tiki got victories picking San Francisco. I did not think the Niners would win outright. I was taking the points, full transparency.
Yep.
And then finally, with the New England game, I took the L, picking the Chargers. You guys took New England. So 3-2 for me and Tiki, 2-3 for Sean Morash. Okay. Sean, kick it off. It's Steelers-Texans on a Monday night.
Yeah, and we got the Texans laying 3 points. You know, as the weekend went along, the more and more I started to pivot and like the Steelers tonight, just because the experience in Tomlin. But I'm going back to my original gut here. I don't think this is going to be a pretty game by any means. I think the Texans win a clunky one, like 16-10, very defensive-oriented, and that gets you the cover. I think Houston moves on here.
Tiki Barber.
Yeah, this feels like it's going to be a tight one, but I want to flip. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. I think that the Aaron Rodgers effect, ends of half, ends of game, just it gives him a little bit of an edge. This is going to be a little bit of a defensive battle, I would suspect. I know Houston has a fantastic one, but it's Mike Tomlin. It's about time he's won a postseason game, and it's been a long time.
This has the makings of a late, close, boring football game that never feels close, if that makes any sense. Like, there's not a lot of offense. It's a one-score game, but it doesn't feel close. And my gut tells me it's on the Houston side of things. They build a 16-9 lead, and you never feel a threat that the Steelers are going to march down the field and score a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Texans laying the 3 points. Now, there is a small part of me that knows how bad this weekend has been for Jet fans and says, it's going to end even worse. It's going to end with another nemesis of you advancing. But just from a purely football standpoint, this Texan defense is legit. The Steeler offense hasn't clicked all year. Really, the Steelers at all haven't clicked all year. I give them credit for winning enough games, but they've always felt like a mid-team. This will be the breakout because it involves D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud finally winning a road game. They haven't done that during this era. 2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. But I'm taking the Texans. Give me Houston laying the 3. Monday Night Football, the final game of Wild Card Weekend. Now, let's finish with your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Let's talk to somebody who was actually at the last Steelers home game that they lost. Steve in Bound Brook, New Jersey. Hey, Steve.
Evan, Tiki, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, man?
Sean's too young to remember 1991. Evan, you were 8, if I do the math correctly, okay?
Yes.
So the game has a tie to you, Evan. That's a hint, okay?
Okay.
So we drove out there 6 hours because my buddy had a friend who lived outside of Pittsburgh, and he had season tickets at Three River Stadium. We had 4 tickets, Monday night game, because the Giants were playing the Steelers. Giants went up 20-0. They were killing Bubby Brisker. They benched Brisker and brought in Neil O'Donnell off the bench. I think that was his first appearance.
Eventual former Jets.
So listen, he brings the Steelers all the way back late in the fourth quarter, ties the game 20-20. Giants get the ball with about a minute left, drive down the field. Matt Barr kicks the field goal at the buzzer. Giants win 23-20. But that's the last time the Steelers lost a home game on Monday night.
That's crazy.
34.5 years. That's nuts.
That is nuts. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, Giants jump out to a 12-0 lead. Dave Meggett with a 30-yard rushing touchdown to go up 20-0. They hit back-to-back field goals in the second half to make it 20-6. They score a touchdown to make it 20-13. They get another touchdown to make it 20-20. And then Matt Barr with a game-winning field goal, 44 yards. And the New York Football Giants improved to 4-3 and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Monday night. The coaching matchup that night, Chuck Knoll versus Ray Hanley. That feels like history.
Wow.
Yes. That's the last time the Steelers lost a Monday night football game at home. And speaking of history, the last time Aaron Rodgers even started a playoff game, you got to go back 4 full years to January of 2022 when he lost to the San Francisco 49ers 13-10.
That was the LaFleur kick the field goal game.
Is that the same game?
I'm pretty sure that was.
Saturday
night.
That's the last playoff game he's had. Incredible.
It doesn't feel like that, but when you think about it, it's only a few years ago.
Yes.
It feels like forever ago because the Jet the Aaron Rodgers Jet experience felt like it was a lifetime.
And remember the season prior to the Jets, they had the win and in game versus the Dan Campbell upstart Lions and lost that game on the final Sunday night of the year.
Which felt like a playoff game, but it's not. Yeah. Right. Rodgers has been checkered in his last bunch of playoff games. 2-4 in his last six postseason games. And by the way, the Texans, let's argue it. They're the hottest team in football. They come into this game on a nine-game winning streak.
And they have plenty of playoff experience themselves. They won a playoff game last year.
No, and like I mentioned, they've won their home playoff games. They've lost their road playoff games.
Yes.
2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road.
And their first ever wild card game not played at a Saturday at 4:30. In their history, serious.
In their history?
In their history. They never played a wild card game not at Saturday at 4:30.
Well, how many times have they been in the
wild? This is their ninth time. All eight times they've started the wild card weekend.
That is impressive.
That is impressive.
And that's also why the NFL hasn't announced who's playing in what slot yet.
Right.
Because
in the next round.
The Texans, 100%. I guess, are just so unappealing that if it's the Steelers and the Patriots.
Is it because the Dallas market or the Texas market doesn't even follow them?
It's one of the top five TV markets.
Yeah, it's not a TV market thing. I think it's a franchise icon standpoint. Like, there are Steeler fans everywhere. The Patriots have obviously become an iconic franchise. And the Texans they're just not. They're a Houston team. I'm sure the people of Houston love them. And like you said, Houston's a really big market. God bless you. But, yeah, they just don't have that national appeal.
Yeah.
And that's why we still don't have official locked-in start times.
Right. It feels like CBS wants Steelers-Pats. If they get the Texans, they're going to shift to Bills-Broncos. That's what it looks like.
Interesting. I mean, it makes sense. I kind of get it, though. Like, from a national standpoint, Patriots-Steelers has sex appeal. Texans-Patriots doesn't. Just the way it is.
It is.
Let's go to Dove in Queens. Hey, Dove.
What up, Dove?
Yeah, hi. First of all, Evan, Tiki, Sean, love the show.
Thank you, man.
You guys got me through the day.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So regarding the Bills game, I know I'm bringing it back. First, it was just a field goal. Right before halftime, they have a minute, and they drive all the way down. And you guys didn't mention the oddest touchdown of my lifetime. Seeing Ahmad Bradshaw hit into the touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Oh, yes.
The Patriots still needed a touchdown.
Yes.
And Gronkowski was an ankle injury away from, making that catch at the Hail Mary. So I want to hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah. That was the one where they let him score. And he was trying not to. And he kind of just sat down into the end zone.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference. Like, I'm trying to think. So the situation was at that point, there was about a minute to go.
Yeah, I don't remember.
They were losing
in the
game 17-15. So they score a touchdown. They go up 21-17.
Yes.
But they also could have kicked the field goal. That's the difference.
Right.
No,
they could have kicked the three. And Eli was yelling, go down, and they didn't go down.
That's the difference. In the Buffalo situation, they need to score a touchdown. If we're talking about a field goal and like, ooh, I'm worried that someone's going to Tony Romo in, it's going to be a bad hold or a bad snap, I'm not worried about that. If I have a 20-yard field goal, I would rather milk the clock out, take a knee, and win the game that way. But that wasn't the case with Buffalo. They needed to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And there's so many weird things that could happen, like a false start that pushes you back to the 6-yard line, that I can't take that risk. So I remember the Bradshaw one, and he's got to go down, and it gave Tom Brady a minute. You never know what would happen. But I think that was different because a field goal was going to be good enough. And in this case, they had to score a touchdown.
Right. And when you take knees, and I can't emphasize this, you don't take a zero gain or loss knee. You lose a yard. And so it just makes it a harder down to convert. It sounds like it's the right thing. It's not always the right thing.
No, you're pushing yourself back.
Right.
And I think the greatest argument against it is the false start. All of a sudden, you're at the 6-yard line. And while you have a confidence that you'll be able to score anyway, there's no guarantee. So if that situation happens again, keep that in mind. But we got one more football game to wrap up Wild Card Weekend. We'll talk about it tomorrow when we're back on the air at 10 a.m. And also, officially, now that we feel safe about the coaching vacancies, we'll play head coach bingo and predict where everyone will end up. If you missed any of today's show, you can rewind it on the free Odyssey app or download the Evan and Tiki podcast, or you can watch the entire show on YouTube. The Carton Show with Craig and Big Mac coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
This Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Dr. Jay Shah at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com.